This is that other sports shit. Let's go. Ladies and gents, we have made it back for your listening pleasure. Strap it on, strap it in, get ready and prepare yourself because my boy Jason is hot today. He's got some takes. Boxing shit is happening, man. I'm telling you, like, we just literally had a show not too long ago where we talked about the potential death of boxing. And with one fight. Well, yeah, like if you just, but the one fight, and we're going to be talking about this fight plenty here, Ngannou versus Fury, it has potentially changed the landscape of boxing. Like if you, I'm not even a boxing guy, but my boy Jason is, he's going to get into this here pretty soon, and I'll get into proper introductions. I'm just saying with one fight, the potential, like electric atmosphere of boxing changed. Now we are at a different level. We're having different conversations. But before we get into those conversations, I'm doing okay. My name is Jesse Thomas. You're listening to me. I'm holding it down out here in Oregon. And over there in Fresno, California, weighing 205, a slender yet athletic 205. My man, Jason, the real deal, Valdez.
I got it. That was a good warm-up. I think at this point, I'm good at 205. But I want to try and put more mass on my legs. That's where I'm at now. Like, if I could find a way to just stay in between 205, maybe 215, but I'm beefier, not around the tummy per se, but just overall beefier. I'm just going to try and, I think in 2024, I did a lot more groundwork, cardio type stuff this year, even with the blown out leg. So now I think 2024, I'm going to go back to like more squatting, more like leg press, leg curl, seated leg curl. I think it's time for me to go back to that. I think I just think I want to have just a little bit of wider legs. I heard this guy that I work out with, Jess, this guy is a former cop. He said that you get a lot of testosterone through leg work. Have you ever heard that one?
1000% he is correct. So,
you've heard this one. Yeah, okay, good.
Because the leg muscles are so dense, the testosterone doesn't all get properly released into the body. So when you're working those muscles out really hard, you end up having an extra dose or two of testosterone pushed through into your system.
Be honest, don't even make excuses because we'll do it all day. Have you been doing legs once a week, twice a week? What's your leg regimen?
Fuck no, like once a month.
Wow, yeah. That's impressive. Yeah, that's impressive.
Once a month, maybe. Fuck. Like I'll like maybe it's because like my arms or shoulders or chest is feeling tight for the day, and I'm like, I shouldn't really do that third day of chest
day.
You know what I mean? Or, so I'm like,
I did incline yesterday. I did decline yesterday. I did flat bench dumbbells today. Yeah, I think my shoulders won't bother me. It's like tennis shoulders. Fuck. Guess I got it legs.
That's about it, man. I'm telling
Wow,
you.
That's impressive. I'm so fucking proud of you. You're just such an alpha. All right, so, Jess, let's talk some fucking boxing. Let's kick this shit off because we're just talking. We want to get our testosterone flowing early and often. And what other way to do it than talking machismo fucking combat sports? Jess, we had Ngannou. We had Fury. You said something I thought was interesting last week, and I was thinking about this as I was watching the fight. This is where Jesse was wrong. You said, I think this has possible work, no chances to shoot, more of a glorified sparring match. And there were moments in this fight where I was like, Ngannou is throwing with full intent here. Ngannou is throwing with the intent of taking this man's head off. And I think it took Fury a few rounds, and I'll get into all that, before he was like, oh, I'm in an actual fight here. Oh, shit. This fight is way more difficult strategically than I anticipated. But give me some scratch-the-surface thoughts here on where you were wrong and the fight.
So I'm gonna say that I was wrong, but I think that in some ways I might have been onto something, because even after the fight was over, and I understand it was probably more of a joking situation, but Fury says, damn, that wasn't in the script. Right? Like, kind of, you know, just poking the bears.
He listened to the show. He saw a worker
shoot. You know, he was shooting on us. It was great. Like, I loved it. So Ngannou is, he's an animal, and this, his story is really inspiring, and he is such a great freak of nature athlete that he can do lots of sports. Like, if you put him in football pads right now and put him onto, you know, a practice squad, maybe he's a starter, you know, starting defensive end, you know, in a month, who knows.
Like, I love this
thing. He's that type of freak like athlete. You just don't, his type of athlete isn't your Michael Jordan athlete. It's not your, you know, your Emmitt Smith athlete. Like, this is the type of athlete that should never have been an athlete, but just always, it was just somewhere rolling around inside, and he unlocked it. And I mean, it's insane and super inspiring to see him do what he does. And he did not drop the bag, obviously. That was another thing that people were talking about. He went in there, and you're right, man. He was firing with ill intent. Like, he was trying to knock out the champ. Like, those punches, you know, we've seen him hit Alistair Overeem and almost knock his head off into the third row. You know, we've seen him punch out some pretty big dudes. And even just the fact that Fury took a few of those, like, yeah, he got knocked down. I get it, you know. But it's a fight. And Jay and I say it all the time. You know, when you got two big man meats just in the middle of a ring or cage throwing leather, like, someone's going to get knocked down and knocked out. Well, Fury ended up getting knocked down. He looked more shocked than rattled, if that makes any sense. For me, it looked more like the shock of, holy shit, I can't believe I just got knocked down by a dude who has zero experience in a ring.
I think it's fair. I think all those are fair assessments. I think that he got caught when he got knocked down. You know, we've seen so many different variations of people getting dropped in a fight, right? Where guys just get hit in the chin. They never saw the punch coming. This, to me, seemed more, you know, impact type stuff, you know, collision type stuff, if you will. This, to me, seemed, and it sounds like I'm lessening the knockdown, and I'm not, but this, to me, seemed more like a punch that pushed him over, where not necessarily off balance per se, but maybe his feet weren't planted. And it was a punch that you have to score a knockdown. He hit him with a punch, and Fury went down. And in the moment, I was like, holy shit. In the moment, it was a special moment, which was dope. It was dope for Ngannou. It was dope to see, like you said, Jess, he took a year off and went, I'm going to just box. I'm just going to show up at a boxing gym. I'm going to work with boxing coaches. I'm going to work with Mike Tyson. I'm going to work with these guys. I'm going to, you know, and I'm going to go to the right places and learn and just learn the sweet science. And I think he did a great job of overcoming Fury's experience, wealth of experience with just being a bigger, stronger heavyweight, yeah. which he is. Like, there's no way around that. Like, he's a bigger, stronger, more athletic heavyweight, and he was able to use that as the ultimate force. And that was kind of the equalizer when Fury fought Wilder. Was like, we all knew Wilder was not on the same level of a boxer, but he had that right hand that could change the fight.
Yeah.
And this was a hook that just changed the fight. And again, I think a few things here on Ngannou. And the first one is, I think that it's okay to have the take of Ngannou did amazing, impressive, out of this world type shit that is going to be difficult to duplicate. I don't think we're going to see a bunch of heavyweight crossovers or combat sports crossovers where a guy comes into another guy's lane and is that competitive. I said it a bunch of times and I'm not changing my mind on this. I scored it 8-2, which sounds like a blowout, but there were a lot of close rounds there. I didn't give Ngannou, or I didn't give Fury rounds not necessarily per se they were one-sided as much as these were close rounds and Tyson is just beating him with veteran shit. He's using feints. He's using ring generalship. He's just using shit that a dude that doesn't have the boxing experience has. And Fury was able to take an enormous edge and advantage in this fight, doing this for rounds that some people probably scored for Ngannou. I hate the idea, Jess, and I'm a firm believer in this, that there were a lot of people that were scoring that fight with a participation trophy type mindset, which is any other round, this is a 10-9. But because it's Ngannou, it's a close round. Because Ngannou's able to hang in this fight, that means we should give him that round. No, that's bullshit. That's bullshit. This to me isn't a you give the champions the benefit of the doubt type of shit as much as it was one boxer was just better than the other. And although he wasn't able to do it with punches, he was able to do it with the ring generalship, feints, movement. Ngannou going southpaw to me wasn't a, oh, this is a tactical ploy as much as it was he started following the traps that Fury was setting by going southpaw. And then Ngannou all of a sudden was effective southpaw. And he's like, well, fuck, this is working. His corner was like, well, fuck, this is working. Maybe stay here. Let's see how long it works. But to me, it just seemed more like, dude, you're falling into a trap. This isn't your shit. Stay in your position. Stay orthodox and just fucking keep going straight right hand down the pipe. Overall, again, I think that we should not be taking anything away from Ngannou, and what he did was impressive. And everyone keeps talking about the bag, and you and I love to celebrate fighters getting paid. And now he is truly the A-side, and he's going to be able to demand a lot of shit in a boxing ring. He should be able to demand whatever he wants through the PFL. But this is something I mentioned again on Twitter, Jess. If I'm him, I'm just looking for boxing matches. I don't think the PFL could pay him half of what a boxing event could pay him, the Saudis. I think that if there's a $5 million difference, I believe, in what the PFL could give him, which would probably be a marquee fight, which would be dangerous for him, as opposed to he fought an AJ, he fought an Andy Ruiz, he just fucking waited a year and then fought Fury again, which is in play, because Fury clearly is game, and would probably think, no, I want to go back and rectify the mistakes, because everybody just thinks that I'm an enormous piece of shit that's stained boxing forever. I gotta go clean that mess up. But Fury is the A-side right now, and he can call the shots. I went long here, Jess, so give me some thoughts on some of the shit I'm saying here.
No, you're saying a bunch of good things, man. Like, I more than thoughts. I have a question. I have a couple of questions for you because you're the guy. We all seen how Tyson Fury showed up to some of the pressers and, you know, basically looking like a fat British slob. All right, man. Let's be real. Like, dude showed up like he just got out of the fucking pub. You know, had more than just one pint and continued on to eat three different buffets. And he comes and says, nah, man, I'm good. I can lose this. You know, it's not a big deal. Do you think that just part of that was just him not taking Ngannou seriously? Because even coming into fight night, I mean, we all know that Tyson Fury is not going to, you know, have an 8-pack or nothing like that. Like, it's just not his thing, right? But he seemed to have been in better shape for previous fights. Is that something that's concerning as far as like him coming in mindset wise thinking this isn't a real fight, like this fight doesn't really matter, I'm gonna come in, I'm gonna get a bag, and I'm gonna move on to the next thing?
You know, it's tricky because I think that we are accustomed to just going, fighter looks like shit, he's a heavyweight, therefore he came in out of shape. I also was of the firm belief of after round 6 or 7, he was really going to turn it up. He was really going to turn the knob. And we were going to see, all right, this is when Fury starts to come on, and this is when Ngannou fades. And it seemed to me like they both just faded. And maybe it was Fury thinking, all right, you know what, I'm just going to cruise. I'm going to bicycle through this,
and do what I got to do to steal 8, 9, 10, and I'm ahead on the cards even with draw, even with getting knocked down. So I think I'm good. I don't think it's corner. I don't remember because I was with a bunch of people and there was a lot of talking in between during this fight. So I don't know if there was anything going on in between rounds where there was urgency from his dad or if his dad was like, nah, you're up. You're winning every round except when you got dropped. So you're good. Just keep cruising. But I think that that is in play. And I don't think there's anything wrong with questioning it. I think that there is some validity to that. Hey, maybe he didn't take this fucking fight seriously. Why would he? He's fighting a fucking MMA fighter that some people don't think has a lot of skill and just thinks is a freak. I think there's a lot of validity to that question. I just don't know if I believe it, but I probably do lean that way. I just don't know if he would ever be honest.
We've seen boxers like, I believe it's Andy Ruiz, right? Like, he's a phenomenal boxer, but always just comes in, you know, like, I'm sorry, man. Like, I mean, if I came in looking like him, people would say the same thing. So I'm just going to say it. Like, he comes in looking like a fat slob. You know what I mean? And I know that the skill set is there, but the thought process is always with athletes, at least, because from us fans, you know, we put money and time into, like, you know, watching these athletes and going to games or matches and fights or whatever. We want to see, like, these hardcore, like, you know, chiseled out of granite athletes. And then we come to see, like, Andy Ruiz or Tyson Fury, and you think, you know, like, they ain't no fucking athlete, man. Like, who is this guy? But the skill set's there, and that's where my concern came from. I don't think that he didn't take the fight super serious. I think he took it serious enough because Ngannou's got power, and he probably knew that it one punch could end the fight, so he'd have to be very careful with a puncher, a striker of that sort. But the rest of it is, I think that, you know, he went like 65% the rest of the fight. That was my next question for you. I'm going to turn this around and interview you a little bit here. What percent do you think that Fury went? Because, like, you've watched a lot of Fury, and he's been on a lot of TV and seen a lot of, you know, clips of his fights. He definitely seemed to take the fight very slow at the beginning and then definitely pick it up in the mid rounds. And then, like you said, there was a drop off, which I take as conditioning. What do you think his highest percent he got up to as far as like how hard he pushed himself in that fight?
That's a great question. I don't know. I mean, 80%, 85%. I don't know.
That seems high.
But I think that's fair. I don't know if he gave up. I think if your assessment is he wasn't giving 100%, that's tough for me to agree with. But again, I can see it. I can see it because it seemed to me again like he put out great output early in the fight that after he got dropped, let's say, like you said, the mid rounds, there was some activity in the first few rounds. There was a jab. He was popping and snapping the jab early, but he wasn't. He was being slick. He does a lot. Again, there's a lot of feint and a lot of movement. So when you look at the punch count and you just go, oh, these were all the punches that were thrown. There should have been a lot more thrown because he's usually a little bit more higher in the volume. I think that's all fair. That's all a fair assessment. But I also think he does a lot with the ring generalship, and that'll tie you out. Also, Ngannou was leaning on my guy a lot. And I was thinking this during the fight, and I haven't thought about this. This hasn't came back into my head until we've had this conversation. If Fury said, hey, man, you know what? I got a little tired because I'm used to having a big dude like that lean on me. And Wilder was big, but Wilder wasn't leaning on me. Ngannou did a great job of just leaning on him. And that's that George Foreman shit where I'm just going to come in and I'm going to hit you a little bit and then just lean my big body on you. And I think with Fury, when he does that to smaller fighters, that works. I think when he's trying to do it to Ngannou, it doesn't work because Ngannou is used to having dudes lean on him for 25 minutes in a grappling ring.
Yeah.
So that, you know, it's a different type of tire that I think equates in boxing sometimes that works in boxing that wasn't working with Ngannou. But yeah, that is something that I noticed, and I think that could attribute to Fury getting tired. I also wonder if he gets dropped and he thinks in his own mind, all right, you know what? I might have lost in one of those early rounds.
I got dropped here. There's a scenario here where if I get dropped again, this really might be a draw, or I might fuck around and lose this fight. So and I didn't train as hard as I really should have. I've got this Usyk fight scheduled. I've got Usyk already in the back of my head, which we all know is a fucking recipe for disaster in combat sports. You never have the bigger fight booked when you have the fight before, and you got the guy there ringside and all that shit. Like it's bad. It's just a recipe for fucking disaster. So I wonder if all that just comes into play and he goes, you know what? I'm going to fucking go at about 75% here. I'm going to get on my fucking bicycle and I'm just going to win rounds by just being the better veteran fighter and just popping my jab and keeping my distance and never letting him get comfortable with the stance with regards to, okay, I'm comfortable and I'm fluid and so on and so forth.
So immediately after the fight, I mean, you got guys like Ariel Helwani and Dustin Poirier, and I just like a number of like mixed martial arts enthusiasts, right? Or athletes just going nuts. And they all said it was a fix. Everybody, of course, like Ngannou won that fight. Tell me, because again, you're the boxing guy here on this show. Tell me why Ngannou did not win and why these guys were just showing personal bias towards their sport and the athlete representing their sport. Because I am not a boxing guy, and even I could tell that Ngannou, yeah, he knocked him down, but unless it's a knockout, like, that counts for the round, but there's, you know, multiple other rounds. And this was a 10-round fight, I believe. So, I mean, I think that, you know, for me personally, just, like, not a boxing guy, I think I scored it 8-2. So, and that was just Fury basically going through motions. And like you said earlier, using feints and just like generalized boxing work to outwork Ngannou for the majority of the rounds.
You know, that's a tough question. And I think, again, everybody scored the fight differently. With the four people that I was sitting with, and I wouldn't call any of them necessarily boxing experts. I've probably watched 10 years worth of MMA with these guys. But I really haven't watched a lot of boxing matches outside of, like, the big fights. You know, Canelo fights. Or, you know, I don't even think I've ever watched any heavyweight fights with these guys. Just like the big Canelo fights. And I know we watched the big Tank fight. From the group of guys that I was sitting with, there wasn't one dude that was like, that's a draw. There wasn't one dude that was like, you know what, I think that the thing that we all, the common theme in the room was Ngannou won the eighth round. He's got two rounds in the bank. He's got a knockdown here. If he can win the ninth round, if he can win the 10th round, now all of a sudden we've got a weird shakeout here, because, you know, I've shared this with them a million times. Anytime you get a 6-4 fight, it can go anyway. But that didn't happen, in my opinion. Nothing happened in the ninth round to where I gave Ngannou that round. In the ninth and 10th round, I was literally almost trying to give Ngannou the round. I was getting a minute into the round going, all right, anyone's round. I was getting 30 seconds into the round, 30 seconds left in the round, going, all right, Ngannou, if you're going to fucking steal this round, if you're going to do that Sugar Ray, here we, you know, now's the time. But, yeah, it just never came. It never came, and I felt the exact same way going into the championship round. The 10th round. There wasn't any championship rounds, but the 10th round. I just never saw the urgency of, I'm behind, I need to do this, I need to steal these rounds, I didn't see it from either guy, to be honest.
Yeah, that's the point.
I didn't see it from Fury, where I'm like, damn, Fury's closed in the show. And I didn't see it from Ngannou, where I was like, damn, I saw two dudes that just seemed tired. And this is why, and I've said this two times, I'll say it one more time, why I was expecting this is where Fury turns it up. And this is why, when you say, well, maybe he was only fighting at 75, 80% because his gas tank wasn't where it usually is for these big championship fights against these guys that he deemed serious contenders. I think those are fair assessments.
Yeah, the fight in general was super entertaining. I mean, I did not watch the fight. Obviously, I'm not spending that kind of money for one fight. I don't do that for anything really. But I watched plenty of clips. Obviously, it's all over the internet, everywhere. Twitter is amazing when it comes to just watching mostly free shit. Like, so I just go in there, type in some stuff, and I watched a ton of the fight. There was a bunch of shenanigans at the end. I loved Fury's take at the end. The script thing was really funny. It was very quippy. It was very Tyson Fury-esque. The Gypsy King, for gosh sakes. Like, that's where, you know, we get good shit like that from Fury all the time. I couldn't believe it, but Ngannou is older than Fury, I think. And that's crazy. Both these guys are not young pups, man, and how much of a career they have left, I don't know. And this could be Fury's swan song, so to speak, coming up, you know, with Usyk and potentially maybe one other super fight after that.
And I think that's super fair. I think there's the Usyk fight. The AJ fight has always been kind of lurking. But I don't know if it's ever going to happen. And if it does, it's just because I think that Fury is trying to grab one last big payday on a fight that he looks at on paper and goes, I should win that fight easily. And he should. But now you've got everybody coming out of the woods. They see fucking Rico Vanhoven from Glory going, oh, I think I could fucking beat Fury. I think if I was in that fight, I could beat Fury. So you're going to get a lot of the looky-loos. You're going to get a lot of people talking and thinking that all of a sudden now Fury's touchable. But you are right, Jess. He's an older cat. You know what I mean? I mean, fuck, who's left that fought the Klitschkos? You know what I mean? Like, he's literally one of the last dudes. So I think it's interesting, Jess. Let me ask you this. We spent a decent amount of time on this fight. So you say you didn't see it. You weren't able to score it. If you're Ngannou, what do you do next? I'm going to throw a few options at you. And if you have one already in your mind that you're thinking of that I don't say, let me know. Do you wait for a potential Fury rematch, which is probably a year away? Do you try and take a fight with somebody like, let's say, a Ruiz, a Deontay Wilder, an AJ, where I believe the bags are going to be the biggest? Or do you say, fuck it, I have this PFL commitment. I'm going to go fight. Lord knows who the fuck they'll have him fight in the PFL. Fuck, Lord knows.
Okay, so interesting things with the PFL is I'm not sure, because I keep seeing different things from both sides, so I'm not sure if PFL has completed their purchase of Bellator or not. But if that is to happen, then you could have some serious fights to put on. But even with both those two companies adding all their heavyweights together, none of their heavyweights compare to Francis Ngannou, like in both stature, physical, and just, you know, like who he is, right? Like, he's Francis fucking Ngannou, man. And so even if he fights one of their heavyweights, I feel like Ngannou's got edges in a lot of different ways over most of their champions right now in both those leagues. Whereas if he was in the UFC, the UFC banner will always be bigger. It will always be a bigger name than the fighters. You know what I mean? Like, when you think of GSP, you think of, oh, the UFC. He was the welterweight champion of the UFC. Think of, you know, all these other guys. Oh, well, they were a champion in the UFC. When you think of Francis Ngannou, I think, damn, he was heavyweight champion in the UFC. When I think of Francis Ngannou as far as PFL and stuff, I really don't care. I think the bag will be in boxing. He seems like a good dude. He seems to have good people surrounded him. So I think that he will follow through with his commitments for PFL and whatever organization they end up creating with the Bellator purchase and all that. But I think boxing is where he makes his money. And if I'm smart, you just went toe-to-toe with the lineal champ. Now it's time to fight somebody who hits just as hard as you. And I think that fight needs to be Deontay Wilder. And Wilder ain't got shit on the horizon. I mean, can you put fights together for him? Sure. But are they going to be entertaining? Are they going to be ones that people want to watch? Probably not. Maybe. I don't know. We don't want to see AJ. I don't want to see AJ at all. I think Ngannou knocks AJ out.
See, that's what I love about this. And let me say this. If I'm Ngannou, I probably don't ever fight for the PFL ever. and I'm dead ass serious. And I don't even know if that's a hot take. Because why would I take less money to have to train harder? Because I'm not just training boxing now. Now I'm training fucking kickboxing, getting my legs kicked. Now I'm training fucking wrestling and wrestling every day. Now I'm I'm drilling jujitsu with some fucker. I'm sweating all over me for fucking 4 hours. I don't want to do that. No. Why would I do that for half of the bag? For $4 million, $5 million? Because I'm assuming that's all that fucking PFL is going to be able to pay him, right? Can they pay him more than $5 million?
It'll be under $5 million, I guarantee.
And not only that, anybody that he fights, if there is a Bellator merger and all of a sudden he's looking at one of these big Russian bears or fucking Ryan Bader or someone like that, they're just going to fucking take him down. Fuck that. He hasn't trained wrestling in a year. He's been training boxing. When he can take a fight with an AJ, like you said, might be a competitive fight. With Andy Ruiz, might be a competitive fight. I don't know if that is. I think Andy Ruiz might whoop his ass.
I think Ruiz has a better chance of beating him than AJ.
Yeah, that real Mexican style might fucking put a hurt on him. Yeah. But those are fucking fights that give me horn. Those are fights that are just intriguing as fuck. But not only that, if I'm intrigued by them, that means the combat sports general public is intrigued by them. That those are the fights where you're gonna get that the people that hated Mayweather but bought his pay-per-views, you're bringing those fuckers back, because you're gonna get those boxing loyalists that are like, fuck Ngannou, I want to see him get knocked out by Andy Ruiz. That's there. That's all in play. And that's why fucking Ngannou's the A-side right now. Straight up. Like, if he fights Andy Ruiz, you got to pay him $15, $20 million. He fights fucking Deontay Wilder, you got to pay him $15, $20 million. He fights a fucking... Who am I just missing right now? We just said AJ. We just said... He fights Deontay Wilder? He fucked $20 million.
For me, that's the money fight, man. Like,
that's a big dude.
That's a fight that has several implications in it. And the more implications, the bigger the money.
You get two guys. You get that's the classic babyface heel fight right there.
Hell yeah.
Because you get big, intimidating, scary, mean, gangster fucking Deontay Wilder. They're just an intimidating dude. Again, big, happy, smiling. I love everybody. I got the bag. I'm doing cool shit. Ngannou, international playboy Ngannou. Like, I think that's it. That's your big, that's a big international fight.
I want to see that fight. I want to see Wilder bring his boys. And then the three men in black bros show up. You got Izzy. You know what I mean?
That was cool. That was cool. That was fucking cool.
I love
see
it.
Them all together. I ain't gonna lie, that was fucking cool. But the only thing I was thinking is I think there's like one win between the three of these guys in the past like 18 months. So I don't know how cool that is, but that's another
story. They look cool though, so
they look cool. They look cool as shit. Fuck. I want to take a photo with those three dudes. How do I fucking get lined up in that bitch? Got any gummies? What's up? Hey, so, all right. Let's do a quick fucking transition out of this into my balls are hot. I think you just got a DUI or some shit. I don't know what's going on. There's a fight this weekend, Jess. You had a quick oversaturation take that we haven't given in a minute. The UFC has a card. We looked up and down it. There's not a ton of names that we know. Doesn't mean they're bad fighters. Doesn't mean they're not up-and-comers, because I'm assuming that's why they're here. There's just a lot of names that we don't know, and this is when I think we start to lean towards there's a bit of oversaturation in the game.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, UFC, you let go of our bro, Blood Diamond.
I did not know that.
He was a future fucking champion. Future face of your sport. And you just let him go, just toss him to the side. Fucking Blood Diamond. Do you not hear it in the name? That's money written all over that name. And you just toss him away. And now you give us this shit card. UFC Fight Night Almeida versus Derek Lewis. Oh, my balls are hot. I love this guy. I think we all love this guy. There was something that he did have. Something happened to get himself into a little something. I don't think it's going to be super bothersome. As long as he doesn't get pulled over in Brazil, I think he'll be fine. If he gets pulled over in Brazil, we'll never see him again. Let's just, you know, that's just reality. He will disappear and never be seen again, be held for ransom.
That's how it works there.
It'll be crazy. Damn,
the last thing you want. It's the last thing you want.
He is fighting Elton Almeida. If you look at his resume, you will not be impressed. He's much smaller than Derek Lewis. Even if Derek Lewis comes in all light, like, you know, he did in his last fight, Derek Lewis will still have 20 to 30 pounds on this guy come fight night. And I suggest that, you know, you don't hold on so tight, because I feel like Derek Lewis is going to end this fight pretty quick. But, Jason, before we get to that, man, is there any other fight on this card, any fight, that looks like we should talk about it?
I'm trying to get hype for this Jelton Almeida dude that's fighting My Balls Are Hot, and he's got, like, a bunch of straight knockouts, which is impressive. He's got a lot of first-round knockouts that are impressive. I've watched not Nascimento fights before. I think he's good. I'm always a fan of Vince Binchell. I feel like he's dealt with injuries his entire career, but been a fan. There, I mean, is Angela Hill's fighting? She's like curtain jerking, my girl. I enjoy Angela Hill.
When you're 15 and 13, there's not much left for you, bro.
I enjoy Angela Hill on Busted Open Radio. I'm just going to leave it at that. She's really good on the radio, and I think she should get a crack at talking fights. I think she's good. She's got a unique take on shit, but I'll leave it at that. But yeah, Jess, this is going to be one of those things. It's on Saturday, but I got a bunch of shit going on Saturday. Maybe I throw it on while the shit's on. Maybe it ends up being background fodder. Maybe with these fights now, I feel like you need a viral moment for it to catch any steam, for it to carry over to like, oh, I saw this guy's viral moment, so now I see why he's moved to the next level of curtain jerking. But with that said, My Balls Are Hot. I think he's an enormous favorite. Does that look right to you?
Yeah, he's pretty big. He's a big favorite.
I see -525 for this fucking Almeida guy. They don't like this guy. This is like, wow. Is this one of those UFC jitters? Like, he's in a main event, so they think he's going to be fucking just overwhelmed by Lewis?
No, I think that the reality is that he's not fought anybody. Look, man, Derek Lewis is not like your average heavyweight. He's above average, right? Like, he's been in some really big fights. And technically, if you look, he's really only lost to, like, competition, like, much greater than him, right? Like, the big boys, the champions, the almost, you know, could-be champions. Those are the guys that Derek Lewis typically loses to. Almeida is just – he's just another dude. And he's like, again, I'm going to bring up the size, right? He's 6'3", 230, right? If he weighs in, you know, he can weigh in at whatever he wants. He's obviously going to make weight. But his weight probably won't fluctuate a ton. Derek Lewis is going to have to cut a little bit. You know what I mean? He's going to have to cut some. And then come fight night, he's going to be all, like, you know, fed and drank up. And he's going to show up to, you know, be 265. And he's still going to have those bombs in both hands. He's got the cannons in both hands, and he's got the weight advantage. And I really don't see what Almeida brings to the table to win this fight. Unless he can just, you know, flurry punch and catch Lewis that way. And we have seen Lewis get knocked out from some, you know, what seemingly was not significant strikes. But I just don't see, without a flurry, you know, of strikes coming at Derek Lewis, I don't see how Lewis can lose this fight.
I love the idea of him knocking this dude out. My Balls Are Hot, knocking this dude out, and then doing like a DUI joke. Like, I gotta keep getting knockouts here. I gotta fucking pay this DUI off now. Jesus. Did he get a DUI, Jess? He got a DUI, right?
I thought that he got into some kind of trouble.
I could have sworn I just read some shit. Be a real man's man. Be a real fighter and just be like, yeah, I got to keep getting win bonuses. I got these court cases if I could pay for it. Say it. All right, Jess.
He got charged for he was driving 86 miles an hour over a speed limit.
That's it? Yeah. Was he drunk too?
It doesn't say he was drunk. It just says he was down driving really fast. His balls were fucking hot, yeah, guys. He was trying to get back home.
That's got to be what you say when you get pulled over, right? Like, you just got to be like, officer, you know who I am, right? I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. My balls are hot.
How cool would it be to have a catchphrase like that? Like,
we blew it. Dude, we just got to knock guys out. We got to knock more people out on – that's it.
Imagine, like, I just pictured that. When you said that, I just literally pictured myself. I get pulled over, you know, like in downtown, you know, McMinnville, super, you know, super whitewashed little county. And I get pulled over. Here comes, you know.
You're going 15 miles over speed limit.
Yeah, I'm going 15 miles over speed limit. Deputy shows up, goes, hey, sir, you're driving kind of fast today. Sorry, sir. My balls are hot. And then we both look at each other and then laugh. You know, like the last take.
No, it's, you got to be way cooler. You have to show him your ID, like flash your ID, like a badge. Like, sorry, officer. And then he sees your name and balls are hot.
Balls are hot.
You guys both laugh and then have a good day. And then you drive
away. Like you were on, like, it's like a laugh track, like from Three's Company, you know, like some cheesy line where everybody in the room laughs.
Flash
the ID. Balls were hot.
Oh, sorry. sorry, Mr. Thomas. Have a good day.
And fucking love it.
Speed off. let's hop into some spreads.
Let's do it, man. Let's do some spreads.
All right. We're going to once again use your favorite gambling sites, ladies and gentlemen. We're referring to Caesars, FanDuel, BetMGM, BetRivers, Bet365, and DraftKings. DraftKings spreads seem to be a little bit weird, usually half point off, but this week they're lining up accordingly. So I've noticed that trend this week. Jess, you and I, as always, we're going to look at these spreads. I will determine if there is one in between. Are you looking at the spreads or you're not looking at the spreads?
No, I've got them up.
Okay, shit. Next week, I want to play Guess the Spreads because I feel like we're going to have no combat sports next week, I believe, unless there's UFC. Who knows? I think the next few weeks, we got to play Guess the Spreads. It's been a while.
We'll have a guest. We have a guest scheduled for next week. We're getting one lined up. That could be some time filler right there, too. So
I like it. Well, either or, the next week or 2 weeks. We got to do like a month straight, like just a November of Guess the Lines. You pick them, and then I'll pick them.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Tonight's game, boring. I will probably be watching because I have a crippling gambling addiction. Tennessee Titans are a 2.5-point dog on the road. They're at home. They're facing the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers still stink. I don't believe their starting quarterback is playing. I could be wrong. Jess, who you got?
I'm going Tennessee. I'm going upset. I don't know if it's an upset special, but
I heard Will Levi's nickname was Billy Jeans, and I thought that was really cool.
Is it okay? So first of all, is it Will Levi's or Will Levis?
I think it's Levis, but I like saying Billy Jeans.
Billy Jeans. I like that too. Actually, you've done it again. Will Levi's, Billy Jeans.
Yes.
We don't know anything about this kid. I know that he had a pretty good collegiate career. I know that he was quite the name coming into the draft.
He was a sexy pick for a minute, but he was definitely
a sexy pick, right? But here's the thing about him.
We're going to take him, which happens every year.
Billy Jeans has no tape. No tape because he ain't played. He ain't done shit in the NFL.
Got some tape now. You got tape. Now throwing a bunch of bombs to DeAndre Hopkins.
But here's the thing. Ryan Tannehill, I think, is at that stage in his career where he knows he's at the end of his career, or at least at the end of his career with Tennessee, and possibly starting as a starting NFL quarterback. And so he is at that stage where you start to overthink everything because you don't want to make many mistakes, because if you make mistakes, you're quicker out the door. Well, that typically leads to making a lot of mistakes, which Tannehill's making. Billy Jeans came out and said, I got DeAndre Hopkins, that old man. I'm going to fucking throw to that guy 15 times.
I threw to this guy in Madden all the time. I'm just going to do it in real life.
I always put this guy on my Madden team. Fuck, I'm going off tonight. And he literally threw the ball to DeAndre Hopkins like 25 times. And it equated to like a 160-yard game and 4 touchdowns for DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, It's impressive what happens when you get like a fresh set of quarterback in the game, and just those legs and those eyes and that mind just think differently than the old one did. And I'm not saying Tannehill's washed. I think that he's pretty close. But
he became a bit robotic.
Yes. But I'm telling you right now, Will Levis, Billy Jeans, as we're going to call him on the show for the rest of his life.
Yes.
He's going to be a big influence on this game, because I don't think Pittsburgh's got the defense. I know they look like they do on tape and on paper, but like the Pittsburgh defense is very mediocre right now. And unless TJ Watt can step it up a lot, I think that Billy Jeans is going to run wild on him again.
Yeah, I love where your head's at. Weird Thursday night game. This is the formula for Steelers to usually win. Quarterback that doesn't have a ton of snaps at home. These are usually games that they win. However, I'm staying on brand, and I think these are the games that Tomlin is now letting slip away. And I'm going Tennessee, and I'm going the upset. Jess, we've got a few sexy games walking
Let's
into
go.
Sunday. This is going to be tough. We're going to start with one. This might be the sexiest. The Miami Dolphins, they're traveling to Kansas City. The darlings of the NFL took a weird loss last week. And I say this every year, Jess. Every team has a weird loss. Every team. No one goes 17-0. There's always a weird loss where you go, damn, they should have won that game, and just shit didn't go their way. So maybe that was Kansas City's game. The Sharps have a 1.5-point favorite for Kansas City at home. Boy, that's rare. That is fucking rare. I can't believe that's across the board. I thought there'd be a 2. I thought there might be a 2.5.
It should have been a 3.
They're at fucking home.
Yeah.
Man, Jess, in the battle of sex, though, who you got?
It's all going to come down to who makes the last stop. Both these teams are going to score crazy. I think that Andy Reid is a phenomenal head coach, and he will make adjustments for this week's game. I think it's going to be a high scoring game. Like look for the point total to be like, I swear to God, probably over 70 points. I mean, I think both teams are going to score like mad crazy. It's going to come down to who stops who. And I think that the Chiefs defense is a bit better than
You really had to think about that. And I'll be honest, I disagree.
Well, I think that they're a bit better, but you can see that the age is coming into play, where Miami's got a little bit more youth on their defense, mm-hmm. and Kansas City's got a little bit more of that age, that veteran, as you want to say, on their defense. I'm still going to give the – I'm going to take – I like the 1.5 because I think it's going to literally come down to – you know, a razor's edge finish in this game. I think Kansas City will make the right adjustments and win this game. I like the points. I'm going to say Kansas City 38, Miami 35.
That's crazy. You really did go high over 70.
Yeah.
I see it more like first to 30 wins. And I think that Miami's going to struggle a little bit on the road. They're not going to have crazy fluidity. I also think that Kansas City is hitting a weird – our receivers suck, and we can't count on Kelce to win every single game when smart defenses key in on him type of game. Miami might have been a little bit exposed by Philly in that game. They sometimes can be a speed team, and when you knock the speed out of them, then they could become pretty mid. But this feels like that cheetah FU game to me. And I like Miami. I think Miami wins. I think first to 30. I think it's going to be something like 34-27, 34-28. I like Miami. I believe this is a sexy game in my eyes. Some might think opposite. The Baltimore Ravens, they're at home. They're a 5.5. I see 6 at some websites, but we'll keep it 5.5. That's across, and they are playing the Seattle Sonics. I was going to say Sonics. What is wrong with me? The Seattle Seahawks, Jess. 5.5-point dog. Who you got?
You know, I was on Seattle's bandwagon at the beginning of the year. I still think that they're going to be a good team. I think that they're number 2 in the NFC right now. And they just picked up some defensive help on in the form of Leonard Williams from the New York Giants. So I don't think that they're going to degress. But Baltimore has been just steamrolling right now. They're on a freight train path right now. They're looking really, really good. Lamar's looking really good. Zay Flowers has been a phenomenal rookie receiver in this league. And the only one that's really been disappointed is OBJ. And realistically, did anybody else but him, are we any of us surprised that he's disappointing? No. It's just, to me, it's the wrong offense for this guy to be in. He needs to be in a passing, up-tempo offense. And the Ravens are run first, play defense. Oh, like, that's how they win games. But you know what? I think that trending up, trending down, which we do so many times on this show, I think Baltimore's trending up. I don't necessarily think Seattle's trending down. I think they're like that split, like, you know, kind of a push. But I'm going to go Baltimore at home. I like it.
I agree. I like Baltimore. I'm a little skittish on the points. I kind of think this feels like a 3-4 point win for Baltimore. So I'm going to take Baltimore wins. Seattle covers. Seattle, both of the we've reached the point in the season where there's no more tricking you. We know who Seattle is. They're an old school Carroll type of team. They play stout defense. They run the ball well. They get the ball to their playmakers. Geno, when he doesn't turn the ball over, they have success. And Baltimore is basically going to be that hardball team, or at some point, if it's 2 to 4 minutes left in the game, they're going to hope Lamar takes over and does Lamar magic. I like Baltimore. I like Seattle to cover. I don't believe this is a sexy game. I think this is an ugly game. I see one, two, three, I'd say four, oof, five ugly games here, Jess. Here we go.
Let's burn through them.
Please. The Green Bay Packers, three across the board at home to the Rams, who just got their shit pushed in by Dallas. Who you got?
I got the Rams. I think
Ooh,
Green Bay is
hoo-hoo.
absolutely terrible. They just traded their second best corner to Buffalo.
I didn't know that. Did
Yeah.
I miss that?
Yeah,
No
but
shit.
so Buffalo traded for Rasul Douglas, and he was right
Oh,
opposite
I
of
did not,
J.R.
dude, I did
Jared.
not know they got Rasul Douglas.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So
That's a
and just in
score.
general, Jordan Love has just, I mean,
The fuck was I at when that happened?
Love is not the guy. Like, I like him. He's a good
Oh,
dude, man. He is.
you turned the heat
He
up on
started
me,
the season
Six.
real hot, but he's not the guy. I've got the Rams. I think Matt Stafford and those receivers go wild on him. And they win and they cover those points.
Yeah, that Rams game last week was just they didn't get out on the blocks and Dallas just knocked the fuck out of them. That was a first round knockout. I don't think this happens this game. I agree with you. I actually like the Rams and the points. I think Green Bay has some big decisions to make here in the offseason. I think that they go, hey, we're going to run Love out here for another full year, or are they going to go, Love's not the dude. We need to figure out a way to fucking, short term, long term fix. But yeah, I agree with you. I like the Rams. I like the
You
points.
know what they? I'm gonna give you a quick take. They need to go after Kirk Cousins next season.
Oh, gee. Everyone, there's going to be everyone's going after Cousins, and I'm telling you right now, Jess, there's going to be a lot of action for Kyler Murray. I was saying this at the beginning of the year, and we've come off of it, but I'm going to, because he hasn't played, but I'm
Kyler
going to
Murray to
come
the
back on.
Raiders.
Oh, man. I think I said that like at the
I
beginning of the
think you did,
year.
actually.
I think I was the first on that. Okay, now I'm telling you, listen, I'll get my Raiders take in a second. Trust me, I got Raiders take. Trust me,
Raiders.
everybody, they're in the bag. Okay. The Tampa Bay Bucks. Oh no, wait, I missed one. Chicago Bears, 7.5 to an 8.5 point dog. They are on the road. They are playing the New Orleans Saints. Jess, who you got?
I like the Saints at home. I don't really like the points, I'm gonna be honest. I think it's gonna be a sloppy game. I think it's gonna be like 17, 14, 13, 10, something like that. So, but I'm gonna take New Orleans, Chicago covers.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think this is going to be one of those New Orleans wins games by 4 points and loses games by 4 points type of year. I like New Orleans to win. I like the Bears to cover. I hope we see more out of Teabag next week, and I hope we see even more of his cool ass arm wrestling champion dad.
Fuck yeah.
The Houston Texans and our boy CJ Stroud, our favorite quarterback. Is this just Stroud, right? I'm not fuck
Yeah,
that up.
CJ.
They are a 2.5 to a 3 point favorite at home. So I'm going to stay 3 points. They're facing Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is a bit of a shit show, Jess. So you got?
I don't understand how Tampa Bay's a dog.
Really?
Yeah, I just really don't. Like, I don't understand. I don't get it. Like, am I missing something here? Like, they have the same exact team. I know that Baker's not, I mean, Baker's, you know, he's being a little Baker right now. But I mean, he was pretty solid for the first six games of the season, you know what I mean? Like, and here we are now, like he's
Doing a lot of throw it up to my great receivers and letting them make fucking plays.
Caramba.
It wasn't like he was accurate all of a sudden. He couldn't turn it into Kirk Cousins.
I don't like it. I do like CJ. I like Houston. Give him a year or two, and I think that they're, you know, hitting wild card status. But it ain't this year. I like Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay puts one game all together. Baker puts it together, and they get a win.
No, I disagree. I like Houston. I like the points. I like them at home. I think this is one of those 2017-17-14 type games. Houston just has – they have full quarters of just absolute mid, and then they'll snap off a drive where Evans has a big play, Godwin has a big play, the running back breaks off a big play, and then all of a sudden they get a field goal, they get a touchdown out of it. I like Houston. I love Houston's defense, and I like Houston to win and cover. Another shit game here, Kirk Cousins out. Saw a fucking guy on an operating table with a boot on right now about 10 minutes ago on TV. Minnesota Vikings, 4.5, 5. Let's keep it at 4.5, Jess. They are on the road. They are playing Atlanta at home. And as soon as I started falling in love with Ritter, they yanked this motherfucker. Jesse got.
I was waiting to see if you were going to talk about it because I was going to. Boy, I was very upset about this.
I'd spent too much fucking time this year watching this motherfucker's every motion for them to yank him for. Is it Heineke? Who the fuck did they yank him
for? Grab himself a Heineken, bro.
Oh, God. Who you got?
You know, Kirk Cousins needs to get on that Aaron Rodgers fucking mushroom shit, man. He'd be out there on the field in like three months, bro. I'm telling you.
He's back. He's too late.
I like Atlanta at home. Heineke. I know who he is. I just can't pronounce his fucking last name. Gosh damn.
That's all right.
Anyway, he's gonna go grab himself a Heineken and win this fucking game. He's got a lot of weapons at his disposal, and I think that he, being a veteran quarterback, he's gonna look at the game a little bit different than Ritter, and he's gonna toss the ball around. It's gonna be some backyard type football stuff, and then they're gonna fuck around and win this game.
Yeah, you know, there was a lot of talk about that Bijan Robinson. I think I saw he just got his first rushing touchdown last week. He was like, he went as high as like 6 or 7 in a lot of drafts. I just don't think that ended well. I don't know. I'd have to see his overall numbers this year for a 6th or 7th pick, as opposed to like an AJ Brown, who's probably doing a lot better, I guess. I agree with you, Jess. I like Atlanta. This is going to be a run first type of game. They're going to see a fucking 50 overall carries between 25 each team. A lot of those are going to be running right into the line. This might be 1st to 17 wins. I like Atlanta. You know what? I feel like the common theme for all the teams in the South this year in the NFC South is if they're winning, they're winning by 3 or 4 points.
Yeah.
So I like Atlanta to win. I like Minnesota to come.
Nice.
Next game, Cleveland Browns. This spread is wacky and weird. I see 7.5. I see 8. I see 9.5. I see primary 8.
It is all over the place.
That's weird. So maybe it's because they don't know if Deshaun's playing or not. But I'm gonna stick it right at 8, Jess. They're playing the Cards. Cards are on the road. Who you got?
Well, I think the Browns are better with the XFL legend PJ Walker anyway, man.
I think that's not a secret anymore.
Yeah, that's not a secret anymore. Deshaun Watson, I don't know. I don't want to make any more talk about Deshaun Watson, man. He, whatever he's doing, whatever he's going through, whatever, wherever he's at mentally, he's got to fix that shit because he, I don't know, man. Anyway, Cleveland's defense is a top three defense right now. Arizona's offense is not a top three offense. Math equates and defense wins. So I'm going to go Cleveland, and the points – even if we stick with an 8, I feel like it's high. But then again, it's Arizona. They just traded Josh Dobbs to Minnesota. They're going to start this rookie kid who no one knows who he is or even where he came from or even if he played college football. There's no stats on him whatsoever. I think it's a dangerous game. I think Cleveland wins and they cover.
I think you just nailed it on the head. The numbers don't lie and they spell disaster. I'm going Cleveland. I love the points. And basically because of everything Jesse just said, you can't trade away your starting quarterback, stick a kid in there and expect to win, you know, lose by 10. It feels like the Cleveland rolls. Big running game out of there. It might be one of those Ford games. You got Ford, you may want to play him. He's probably getting a lot of touches. The battle of two mid teams / bad teams, New England Patriots, they're a 3.5 point favorite. At home. That shocks me. They're playing Washington. Washington has been in a lot of close games. So the 3.5 is a bit surprising. But Jess, who you got?
I'm going to go upset if you want to call it that. I'm going to go Washington. I think that Sam Howell, like typically speaking, I generally will say, you know, when you have two teams evenly matched, whether they're good or bad, I go off quarterback play. And Sam Howell has played better quarterback than Mac Jones. I'm going to go Washington. They have a few more weapons. And their defenses are, you know, about the same, even though, you know, Washington just lost both their edge rushers. And we'll see how that plays out. But from what I see, I'm going to go Washington, and obviously Washington, they cover.
1,000,000%. I feel like you got two nice little upsets here that I agree with both, Jess. I like Washington. They are in a lot of fights. And again, we like to credit Rivera. Their quarterbacks come along a little bit. Their receivers, they quietly have great receivers that just can't find the ball. And when Washington puts shit together, they look good. They looked really good against Philly last week. I like Washington in an upset, so the 3.5 is easy. Battle of, once again, two very bad teams. The Indianapolis Colts, 2.5-point favorite on the road, pretty much across the board. They're playing the Carolina Panthers. Panthers are sneakily might be the worst team in the league. Just who you got?
Yeah, they're pretty.
But they got two wins, right?
Yeah, they got two wins. They're pretty bad. And you know what? I'm gonna go that they get their third win. I think that they win at home.
Whoa!
This is my true upset special right here, folks. If it backfires on me, I don't care because it's just the Colts and the Panthers. But I think that Bryce Young puts together the best game of his season. Adam Thielen gets, you know, 8 to 10 looks. He catches, you know, 5 or 6 of those for like $120. I think that the running game gets involved, and the Panthers defense finally puts a stop. Indianapolis ain't got a whole lot more than Carolina does. I'm gonna ride out with the Panther fans at home. I'm gonna go Carolina in the cover.
Yeah, I agree. Oh wow, this one we don't agree with. I like Indianapolis. They got a nice little sneaky 1-2 punch at the running back position now. Minshew still plays like Minshew. He makes bad decisions, but also just makes crazy football plays. So, in this one, battle of attrition, I like the Colts. I like the points. I think they win by 3 or 4. Super sexy games on the backside.
This right here could be game of the week. Let's skip this game.
Let's do Giants Vegas Monday night game. And then we'll do Buffalo, Cincinnati, Dallas.
Yeah, because both those games are way too sexy to just throw out and talk about.
I'm gonna close. Let's close Dallas, Philly. I want to give Buffalo, Cincinnati their love because that's good shit. Okay, the New York Giants are an absolute shit show. They are rolling into Vegas, and Vegas is an absolute shit show. How long have I been asking for them to fire McDaniel, Jess?
It's been over a season.
Is it fair to say 2 seasons I've been asking them to fire that fucking guy?
Yes. I think that definitely lingering all last year and this year for sure. It could have been even before.
Really? It's I can verify too. There were some don't even let this guy on the fucking bus rants I had with him. Well, they finally got him out of the building after he got Carr out of the building. After he got Waller the baller out of the building, after he nearly got fucking Jacobs out of the building, only thing he did right was he kept Crosby. The AOC thing to me, Jess, you know I absolutely love it. You can already hear the way I'm leaning here. They're a 1.5-point favorite across the board, which is, I mean, the East Coast team traveling to the West, and the Giants are still a shit show. Let's not get it twisted. Who you got?
So real quick, guy at my work, big Raiders fan. And he's from New Jersey, right? So he's got this accent still. He's been here in Oregon for a while, but he's got the Jersey accent. And after this last week's game, right? You know, if you ain't never heard an East Coaster curse, it's a thing of glory. And he was like, we're inside of our work. And he is just like, fire all these motherfuckers. Fire every single one of these goddamn motherfuckers. They're all a bunch of fucks. I ain't never heard so many cuss words. And it was just so glorious. It was like the heavens opened up and every single curse word came out. And it was amazing. And he said, fire them all. get rid of McDaniels, get rid of the GM, get rid of this, get rid. And you know what? Like the next day, they fucking did. Like they literally did. Like they got rid of everybody.
Did you hear the rumor that they couldn't make any trades on trade deadline day because they were too busy trying to get everything lined up to fire their coach?
I wouldn't put that. I believe that. I believe that that's a thing. Like, holy shit. Look, Here's the thing, man. McDaniels is a terrible head coach. He's had several tries. He's failed at every single try. I don't think that he deserves another shot at being a head coach anywhere else besides maybe collegiately. I think he needs to crawl on his hands and knees back to New England. I think he needs to crawl on his hands and knees back to New England and beg Daddy Belichick for a job. That's what
it almost feels like. That how you did the illustrative thing with my balls are hot earlier. Yeah. That's what I'm doing in my mind. Like I can see him on his hands and knees crawling into the office like a fucking wet dog and going, please, Mr. Belichick, please. I've never let go of the property out here. I've still got a nice little 4-bedroom condo out here. It's about 30, 45 minutes away. You got to have a consultant, offensive, a videographer consultant job where I'm just rewinding tapes in the back. They just need someone to rewind tape. I can rewind tapes. Just please give me a fucking job. I see that illustrative. All right,
I love it. You know what?
Who you got?
AOC. We talked about it with Billy Blue Jeans, right? Will Levis breathing life into that offense in Tennessee. AOC will breathe life into this Raiders offense. Davante Adams will have a big, big game. AOC will have a big game. It's not gonna be pretty. Okay, he's gonna throw a couple picks. He might lose a fumble, but I bet you he does enough to get the win. I like the Raiders. I like the points.
How about Antonio Pierce yesterday coming out and going, "Yeah, I grew up in Compton. I listen to NWA. I am the Raiders." Seriously, what he said.
It's the best thing. Antonio Pierce. If you know it, okay, so for people under the age of like 30, right? You may not remember Antonio Pierce. I watched this guy play football. He was a ferocious linebacker. Ferocious. Like this guy would put hits on you. He would rattle helmets just for the fun of it. He is going to be one of those guys that is, I don't think that he's going to take over forever, right? They'll find a head coach. But for right now, this team will be – they will be a fired-up fucking football team.
They're going to go full nobody believes in us. They're going to go full – we switch quarterbacks. So now it's a double we're fired up. You're hitting the fucking the nitrous button. They're going to be jacked for fucking Coach Pierce.
NWA now, blasting in the background. It's going to be fucking awesome.
I don't know how long that has a shelf life.
Not very long.
Maybe he can do a Ray Lewis thing for fucking 3-4 games. And I mean, maybe, you know, Kansas City rolls in and they punch him in the fucking mouth. Who knows? But for this game, it's a perfect formula of nobody believes in us, new coach, new regime, hope. Hope is what you've got now. And you got the Giants rolling in here with that fucking Italian slime backup quarterback and a whole lot of fucking problems. I think the Raiders roll. I think the Raiders win by a touchdown. So the points to me, the 1.5 seems low. Jets, let's roll into that fucking other stinky game. There's another stinky game. Chargers, Jets, Monday night. This is an atrocious game. They should have fucking flexed it. The Chargers on the road, traveling west to east, still a 3.5-point favorite. I see 3, but we'll go 3.5. Who you got?
So you and I love the trending up, trending down. And when I look at this, I see that the Chargers are trending down and the Jets trending up. I'm going to go gut feeling, and I hate to do this because I don't want to see anybody in the AFC East win. But I think the Jets win at home. This won't be as much of an upset as you really think. The Chargers, man, it's tough in Chargerville right now. Like that head coach is, I don't know where his head is at half the time. He's putting Justin Herbert in some really bad situations. That defense just looks old and slow. And oh my gosh, it's like, like walking through mud out there. It's just such a hard thing. I mean, you think, you know, oh man, they got Khalil Mack. Yeah, they got Khalil Mack now, not Khalil Mack 10 years ago. You know what I mean?
What's their identity, Jess? Are they a great defense? Are they a quarterback-driven team? What's their identity? We're fucking halfway through the season, and they don't have an identity. That's the problem.
And their head coach can't help them find an identity, which is even worse.
Tell you right now, and I've been saying this since the Jacksonville debacle, they shouldn't have let him on the fucking bus after the Jacksonville playoff loss. And now he just looks fucking lost.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, at what point does that ownership go, we fucked up. We should have fired this guy 7 games ago. Fucking here we are. We're gonna ride this bitch out for another 9 games.
I know a couple Chargers fans, and they were saying that he should have been fired at the end of last season, and he didn't. And here we are again. It's like a rinse, wash, rinse, and repeat from last year. Except it might actually be a little bit worse. So Robert Saleh, he knows what this team is. And this team, even if Aaron Rodgers was available, this team is a defense driven football team. Their defense is elite. They make tackles, they make big hits, they put quarterbacks in bad situations. They've played a lot of elite, you know, good, great, and elite quarterbacks this season. They put each and every single one of them somewhere on the shelf at some point in time. And I expect the Jets defense at home to be fired up, and I believe that they've got a couple wins now in the bag, and I'm expecting Justin Herbert to get roughed up. I'm going Jets, and they cover.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a bowling shoe ugly game. First to 17 wins. I think the Jets barely pulled that game out of their ass against the Giants the other day. Just probably the worst game of the season. Just bad. I think you just have too many elements against the Chargers right now. And I like the Jets. Again, I think the trending up, trending down applies here more than maybe any of these games we discussed. I like the Jets, and I think we've given you 3 upsets here. So you take those 3 upsets to the bank, you might make some money this week.
Yeah, shall, right, baby. Jets.
We've got 2 super sexy games. They happen to be our games. I'm going to start with yours. I'm flipping it again.
That's fine. Let's do this.
The Buffalo Bills, they are on the road. I see a 2 pretty much everywhere, so I'm going to keep it at 2. They're a 2-point dog against the Cincinnati Bengals. You and I loved the Bengals last week on our upset special, and that bitch cashed out like you wouldn't believe.
Yes, it did.
Some people would say they completely exposed the 49ers. Who you got?
The 49ers are in bad shape. I'm going to put that out there right now. The defense is banged up. They're not playing well. They did just go and get Chase Young in a trade. I think that's a big deal.
That's enormous.
I think they paid a lot for it, but hey man, when you're trying to win a championship, you'll pay.
They got assets. They're good.
I think the 49ers defense will reshape itself over the next couple weeks, and they'll regain their dominant form. Offense, they're gonna get Debo back this week, next week. So
bye week is
huge right hurting. Now. Purdy was on concussion protocol for a little bit, and then, you know what I mean? He's getting roughed up, but he's going to get another week to rest. Debo comes back. C-Mac gets a rest. Don't worry about the San Francisco 49ers. However, the Cincinnati Bengals did look really good, and they are definitely trending up. They're getting healthy. Joe Burrow looks like that calf ain't much of an issue anymore. I swear to God, they should have let him sit for a few weeks before they played him, but they didn't. And so it's taken him this long to work through that injury. But I think that he's probably about 97% healthy, if not 98. He looked pretty damn good against the 49ers. Jamar Chase out there playing some good ball. T. Higgins out there playing some good ball. The winner to me, really, the MVP of that game was Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon, when he's catching and running and making big plays, that team goes
tough. Well, he's tough to stop.
The offense goes really far when Mixon is having a good night. Buffalo, however, still continues to struggle in finding their offensive identity. I think that their defense is their defense. They went and made some trades, as mentioned earlier. They went and traded for Rasul Douglas. I think that's a good trade. They get a veteran corner presence, and he's had better years as of late than he started off with. So that's, you know, trending up for Rasul. Another pickup, I guess, was Leonard Fournette. I don't know if Fournette plays this week. I don't know if he's had enough in the bag, but he's a vet and he's played in a lot of football games. I don't see why he couldn't play, but he's on the practice squad currently. And so who knows what happens after that. And then just today we went and signed in true Bean fashion, 35-year-old Linval Joseph. This man, however, being an older cat, is a mountain of a dude, like 6'4", like 340, something like that. This guy is ginormous, and he is definitely a hole plugger, and that's the whole reason we need him, because the run defense has been getting a little bit porous over the last few weeks. Throw this man in there, and he's going to make a lot of plays. He was a Pro Bowler, I think, back in like 2016. But I'm not expecting him to regain Pro Bowl form now. I'm just expecting him to plug holes, and that's the reason for bringing him in. I wanted Ndamukong Suh, you know, because I feel like Buffalo's got a lot of nice guys, and you need that one dickhead, right? You need that one guy that's going to step on your quarterback's hand. You know what I mean?
Yeah, fuck finesse. I'm just a mean guy, a guy that can get thrown out of a game.
100%. I feel like Buffalo's gone this weird, like, oh, we got a bunch of like, nice guys and good guys, and everybody gets along. It's happy, happy, get, you know. You need that one.
You
got to
have some goons, and you got to have some bullies.
But they went and got Linval Joseph. I think it's solid pickup. In this game, however, I gut feeling says Buffalo wins. I don't know. I'm not trying to be biased. I just think that Buffalo wins. I think that Josh Allen's going to have a good game. Emotions are going to be high. The DeMar Hamlin thing happened last year versus Cincinnati. That game got canceled, right? We go into the playoffs. Cincinnati puts an ass whooping on Buffalo, in the snow. That makes it even worse. You get beat in a snow game. That's your kryptonite for another team.
They should be performing well, accelerating in snow games.
I think that this game, I think Buffalo gets a tad bit of revenge. I think Buffalo wins and they cover.
Yeah, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid this week. I'm going Buffalo. I just feel like they're starting to click on some cylinders. They added some solid pieces. I didn't even know about the defensive back. The Fournette thing to me is key. I don't think it'll be key now. I think it'll be key in December.
Playoff Lenny, baby.
Yeah. But I think that's what it matters. And I think that, and I wouldn't even want him to come off of the practice squad until late December, when I feel comfortable going, you're going to get 12 to 15 touches when it matters. Cincinnati really fucking impressed me last week, but I just feel like Buffalo is going to start rolling here, and this is the game they get it going. This is the game they win, and everyone starts talking about Buffalo again. It's like, oh, fuck, they're back. I like Buffalo. I like the points. We've got the Dallas Cowboys, and they have once again fucking teased me and tickled my pickle with last week's performance against the very, very bad Rams. They just basically came out and punched them dead in the mouth the same way they were doing the first 2 weeks when they were playing opponents and just fucking bullying them. They're playing the Philadelphia Eagles. And you know, an interesting take, Jess. I keep hearing people saying Philly's beatable. Philly hasn't put together the perfect game. And I would agree with that part. But they are kind of rolling on all cylinders, and they run the ball so well. And then you have that AJ game like last week where he just looks like a man amongst men. Like, it's just crazy to me how manly he went TO on motherfuckers. But 3 points across the board for Philly. When I looked at this line this morning, Jess, I honestly, my jaw dropped because I thought this would be 6 or 7 for Philly. Who you got?
You know what? I'm not saying this because you're my boy and because we go so far back, but I honestly think that the last week's game was a get-right game for Dallas, and they got right. The defense, I mean, yeah, you know what? Like, we talk about heavyweight fights, right? What's the best way to come out, man? You come out hot and heavy, you fucking pop somebody in the mouth, you show them what's up right away. And Dallas came out and they did that. Why? Because, look, man, the Rams are no slouch. Their offense has been rolling really well this year. Stafford, when he gets on track, man, he has been really good. Puka Nacua, or whatever that kid's name is over there, just steamrolling rookie receiver. And they've got other guys out there doing really, really well. Cooper Kupp's back. The defense is playing well, or the offense is playing well. And Dallas comes out. They punch him square in the head and said, "This is where your place is. Your place is under our shoe." And that's how you beat bad teams, or at least that's how you do. It's what you do to teams that are below you. That was a get-right game for Dallas. I think Dak has a big game this week against Philly. And I think that Philly's not been exposed. I just think that they are right now who they are. I don't think that they're going to be any better. They're not going to – and they can get worse, obviously. But that's by their own accord. I think Dallas has a lot to play for, and this is going to be a game that they come in and they just kind of punch Jalen Hurts square in the jaw right away again. And they put a – it's going to not be a big – you know, whooping kind of game. But I think that Dallas wins, you know, like I think it's like 34-30, something like that. You know, I think it's going to be a big scoring game. And I think that Dallas is going to have to score a lot of points. And the defense will play big in key moments. I don't think that they can stop the Eagles offense, but they will stop them in key moments. And that's what's going to be the defining of this game. And I'm going to go Dallas.
This is a big bend but don't break type of defensive performance for Dallas if they're going to win. I when we started the season, when you look at this on the calendar, majority of Dallas Cowboys fans are going to go optimistically. I think we're going to split with the Eagles. We'll win one in the road. We'll win one at home. We'll lose on the road. And I feel like not much has changed. I gave this take a few weeks ago, when the Niners were able to just run the ball down the Cowboys' throats. And I think I said then, man, we're going to have some issues against the Eagles. And I think the Eagles, when they choose to, really batten down the hatches and go, we're going to commit to the run with Smith. We're going to Swift. We're going to commit to the run with this other kid game. Well, we're going to commit to the run with our running backs. We're going to commit to the run with Jalen. And we're just going to fucking beat you down with runs. I think Dallas will counter that by doing the same. Hey, we're just going to bring tight packages. We're going to give you a heavy dose of Pollard, of Dunbar, or the other kid they got. Dak's going to be sneaking out on bootlegs and shit. And they're going to have to hope that crossing patterns hit big with CD. CD had that game that you want right now, where you go, all right, we're dead in the middle of the season, and he had that monster game that you know he can have every few weeks. He's going to have a great game. I don't know about a monster game. I mean, if he has a monster game, we got to win, but a great game to win. But this, to me, feels more like an old-school NFC East slugfest. And this is why I say I think we're going to get a lot more of the running the ball and a lot less of the finesse. Four wide receivers are going to be effective in this game. I think Dallas has a chance to do some stuff vertically. We saw with Washington. Washington was able to make some plays deep. They've got great receivers. You know, Dallas has good/great receivers. But I think it's going to just come down to Philly being able – who can run the ball and who can stop the run. And I think that Philly at some point is going to be able to run the ball a little bit better than Dallas. And I like Philly. The 3 to me feels right on, but we don't push. So I think Philly wins by 4 or 5. I like Philly to win and cover.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, again, I think that Dallas is winning. I think that game against the Rams was a big it was a big win for a lot of different reasons.
And trust me, I felt the same way. And I think you can't make excuses going into this game. Dallas got punched in the fucking mouth against the Niners, and they've recovered since then. They've really tightened up the loose ends on all facets. You know, they had issues offensively. They looked pretty basic, pretty one-dimensional. They've switched that up. Defensively, they were getting gouged. They've stopped that. Special teams, they've made enormous plays. And like you talked about, the first few weeks, that defense just created so many turnovers that turn into points. And they did that last week. And when they're able to do that, I mean, they're just a different animal. And everybody knows. And one more thing on Philly. I don't think Philly's defense is playing as lights out as it did last year where you were just like, dude, they're punching everybody in the fucking mouth. And it's crazy to me because I know they might have the defensive player of the year, but again, I think they have some holes on the, in their backfield, in their defensive backfield, where they just
get beat. Losing T.J. Gardner-Johnson in free agency was a big that was a bigger loss to their secondary than I think Philly fans want to admit.
And we talked about it too. We said, hey, they're going to have to replace a lot of these dudes, and they did some of that through the draft, but. As we get into November and, you know, the December and these games start getting colder and we start seeing a little bit less finesse football and more run-heavy football.
Lock them in the mouth football.
You know, this is where Dallas and Philly, I think, and teams like Seattle, too, they really make their fucking bread and butter. Yeah. It'll be interesting. Hit the wrap it up button, Jess. We went far. We did our usual hour, 20 minutes plus.
Yeah. All right, folks.
Let me start. I'm sorry. Shout-outs. Shout out to our boys at Variety Sports Network. Shout out to, and I don't know the name of the podcast, but I watch it. I think it's the TNB show. Our boy Tyler, our boy Big Baller Brian. I think Brian did like one of those Mankind retirements where he said he was gonna retire and he retired for like one day and then he came back. But it was good to see them back talking shit. I have now started watching some of the Variety stuff on YouTube. So shout out to them. Shout out to our boys at Fat Boy Fadeaway. I want so bad to get our guys on from this show. We got to do multiverse stuff. I was thinking about here this, Jess. You're working on guests. I'm going to work on getting Brian and Tyler and our boys at Fat Boy over here real soon. So shout out them. Shout out Super Smash. I'm sorry, Smash Squad MMA. I always want to butcher that. Shout out Smash Squad MMA. Shout out Brian. I hope you're doing well. I miss you, buddy. And shout out the boys, Jess, please.
Yeah, Shay and Justin and Chris, all you guys, you know, always got love for the OGs of our little Twitter family. Always much love. Shout out to everybody else who listens. Thank you for listening. Thank you for Spotify listeners, man. Our Spotify listeners have been doing some business. So people out there listening on Spotify, thank you. Whether you're an old listener, a new listener, or whatever, we appreciate you very much. Yeah, every listen counts, and we appreciate it. Because, yes, we do this show mostly for fun. But when we hear that people have, you know, listened to the show and they like the show or whatever, hey, man, a little boost to the ego is always nice. So thank you all for doing that.
Please choke our egos because we do this for free.
Yeah. So follow Jason on X at Valdez spelled backwards 559. Follow me at JTT_81 and follow the show at Team Toss 21. Ladies and gents, please enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy the fights. Enjoy the football. And enjoy the weekend.
Peace, God. We'll be right back.